runs an entrepreneurship at California. It's Agribusiness Associates. So this is good to hear from, not from the academics, and I think he has some international entrepreneurship going on in the building horticulture, post-harvest capacity and entrepreneurship from Rwanda.
Good afternoon. So basically what we just heard from all the speakers, it was very clearly highlighted the need to get the last question, how to link it to the business. The first question starting with what are, there are so many innovations, how to make them reach the more number of people, the right models. So in Rwanda, and it's about a year now, we started in Rwanda, and Burkina Faso is a little less than that. The focus was to look at the post-harvest solutions, and we use the traditional theory of change model, which is used by many of the people, but we just added on the top of it a little element of how to make these, how to get the science and innovation out with the businesses, how to demonstrate that somebody is making money and that this is scalable by the various people in the whole value chain. So in approach, we used a three-layered approach to understand. The first was a typical commodity system assessment methodology, where basically you really measure across the, after the harvest, across the chain, and physically calculating that which are the key areas where the maximum loss are happening. Idea was to look at which are those points where you can do minimum intervention at a less economic cost and save more of it. But at the same time, we added up this particular piece with a value chain assessment on the crops, the looking at not only the post-harvest, but right across from the pre-harvest to the end. Idea is to call out, there is all these countries, there's a lot been done already, a value chain assessments. It's not like we are reinventing the wheel. But with these specific crops, idea was to look at what are those bottlenecks and what are those pieces where we can really connect the dot and make it business. And the third piece which we looked at, John called out on the climate change and the environment side of it. So we used, we also mapped from the life cycle assessment methodology, which basically give us a benchmark at the beginning of the study, which will help us understand that how much extra environmental footprint we can save by saving the post-harvest losses in these crops. So we used the commodity system method, and we partner with Post-Harvest Education Foundation and their trainers. They are available in Africa, so they were the one who did that. Value chain, I've spent my years in agribusiness working for private corporations and looking into agribusiness from right from the farmer to the other end. But plus we used good experts who had had that experience. Particularly we were in Rwanda, lucky we had a lady who has been in 10 years back, done a similar assignment in Rwanda, and now she partners with us, and so that we can, she can capture it better than what has been done 10 years and what the journey has been through. And the, for life cycle assessment, we worked with Dr. Jesse Daystar from Duke University, and he just actually this month only he moved to Cotton Incorporated as a Chief Sustainability Officer. Earlier, he was Associate Director at Duke University at the Center of Environment Education. So idea was the all layering up these three information, but the end use is that what are those interventions required, who is going to do it, and who's going to make money on it, and how to build that entrepreneurial capacity. Because based on my experience working in the developing countries, I lived in India, then now we work in Cambodia, Nepal, Bangladesh, many other places. One of the major thing is the people who are taking these inventions forward and how to make them successful. So I will come to the way forward because we are just into the process. And one of the most important thing for us in this particular was the partner selection. And where we really looked into who are the people who are driving these things in that country. So for in Rwanda, we had partnered with Rwanda Agriculture Board, which is responsible for the research piece of it, and then National Agriculture Export Board, which is the body which promotes agriculture exports, and University of Rwanda, where we are trying to look for some of the processing solutions. And answering one of the most difficult question in my book is on the food safety while we do all these things, because how to convince a person sitting in a city that what has been dried or processed over here is safe for me to eat or for my kids to eat. So then in Burkina Faso, we are working with INERA, which is the National Research Institute, a leading body over there. And plus, there are two partners. There are already two projects which were being implemented by USAID through CRS and ACDI VOCA. IDEA, Burkina Faso is a comparatively a shorter project, but only with focus on one crop, tomatoes. Why it happened, these two partners, USAID, they worked with improving the nutrition. One is project is Victory Over Malnutrition, where they made the farmers to grow the garden tomatoes, and then it becomes a little commercial crop, but a lot of it get wasted. So here was the Horticulture Innovation Lab decided to work with the mission. I think it was a request came from the mission, and then we designed a project around it. So I'll share you the focus crops. In Rwanda, we have green chili. This is basically led by the export requirement. National Agriculture Export Board, most of these countries, this challenge is also to get a good crop mix, because typically every one of them are short on dollars. They would always say, oh, I need more exports, but which kind of create a imbalance in the whole approach. So we were lucky enough to work with the local team. As I said, the partners helped us to understand the local dynamics. So chili from export, green chili, and tomato, which is most economically crop for the domestic perspective, also from the export point of view, which is going to the neighboring countries. And then we looked from the nutrition for orange flesh, sweet potato, and green banana, which is the plantain cooking bananas, which is a staple food. Very important food crop, but not much looked by many people in that part of the world. So these are the focus crop. And coming to a quick snap, it's not that anywhere in the process of finalizing the reports, but I thought bringing out a snap of the CSAM, the Commodity System Assessment Methodology, which we did that. And particularly in tomatoes, if you look at the losses, and we figured out in the terms of perishability, like it not only at the, while the transportation, even at the farm, the farmers are losing about more than 20% just by not following the right practices. So going, I will show you some numbers. At farm, it is about 21% which actually got lost and which has been measured. And when I say at farm, it is about the practices, the way they harvest in the morning, the way they use the container. The woman will start plucking the tomato, and then after a while it will become a basketball game because she keeps a container at one place and throws the tomatoes into that container. And also to the level that how they are being stored while the time the consolidator comes in the afternoon. No shade, no proper grading, no proper done at that point of time. And the other end then, collection point, wholesale market. So that's how more than 50% plus value we are losing at that point of time. And the challenge, why we wanted to call out the CSAM and do the value chain analysis, idea was that to look at what end and who's trying to do the maximum of it. And going back to these slides are more general, but I would like to talk it out and over our experience on the ground. So it's not a brainer to look at the challenges, the typical which we all see, over maturity or mixed maturity. Tomatoes, for some reason, it came out through the value chain analysis. To my understanding, it's the traders who have trained the African tomato growers to ripe it right till the end in their fields. so that they can get it at the price what they want. This is happening in Rwanda. This is happening in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso, the tomato traders are coming from Ghana. They call them the truck mamas. These women comes in a truck load. And they were in constant touch. And they let the tomato reach a level in the field. And then the question comes, this is the price. And farmer knows if he doesn't take it at that point of time, in next 3 days, he's going to lose entire or lot of the crop. So there have been these practices, which is their spray of this mechanism. What is technically? There is a chemical that they have been training the farmers that you need to spray this, that this remains firm. It doesn't do that anyway. And that's the kind of studies we are now going to start on our place, that how to really convince that population that there are practices which we need to move away. Similarly, on chilies, the Rwandans don't eat green chilies. It's not a part of their food. And in green chili, what happens is, whatever is not of a good quality, it gets thrown. And an average about 30 to 40% is being thrown. So right now, little interventions are there where the people are using it for drying or extracting the oil. From Kenya, some people are moving in and something is happening. But a lot to be saved over here. And rough and unsanitary handling just now got talked about. It have even the poor quality containers. You have 80 kilos basket on basket sitting and traveling on tomatoes. By the time it reaches, and it's not uncommon to see a broken truck while going into the hinterland, which will be sitting there for next 4 hours. And the rough transportation, whether it is tomatoes or it's the bananas which are being dragged on the cycles. And a lot of time you can see that these bananas are scraping the road and going through. So the approach, the temperature management, how they are handling it at the farm or at the level, opportunity of processing. And so these are all, called out scenarios. The approach which we are doing at this center is, this country in Rwanda, is that we are partnered, as said, with the three different institutes, University of Rwanda, National Agriculture Export Board, and the Rwanda Agriculture Board. So at all the three places, we are setting up three post-harvest service and training centers where the technologies, like just now Dr. Deltides has shown us, we are trying to demonstrate the benefit of the cool bot, the chimney dryers, and plus also make these centers as a place where people can come and understand the simple post-harvest technologies. And we also have a small shop, because a lot of time when we give the training, it's important to farmers or the farmer groups to come and get those small tools. It's not expensive, but the very practical small tools to be bought by them. The second approach in that country which we are doing is, there's a lot of projects, because the time for us, this project is 3 years. So there are a lot of projects which USAID and many other funding donors are doing on the production agriculture and linking the markets. So what we have done is we have identified now about 10 to 20 of them who are already working on these pieces, production, marketing. But they were missing the very important piece of the post-harvest. So we have a good audience available to us who can easily extend this training, and we can multiply the effect in a short time going through the process of training. And trainings also, we had kept the process what we call as refresh, review, and reward. So you call people, a certain set of people, for training, and then give them opportunity after some point of time to come back and visit you and ask those questions. And the third piece is of reward, which we find out very important, because a lot of time you get these extension specialists or the local people who are part of this training. Not ever in my experience, I don't know other people, I would say that there are 30% of the people who are really serious listening what is happening in that training. And even 10% of them come back home and think of a good idea. It's difficult for them to find out the money to test out the idea with the population. So in this project, we had provided for innovation fund grant. It's a very small $10,000, but enough for in Rwandan situation where one can scale it up. It's a competitive grant which will be decided by the group. So we are using all the mixed approach. And the third piece, which we will talk about just a little down the line, on the value chain, we talked about that the complexity of the value chain, where it highlights how it works very clearly. The bigger players, that means the bigger consolidators, they are benefited. And the way we are looking at, particularly in the Rwanda, that if today what is happening, if we don't do these simple post-harvest things in Rwanda itself with the farmers on the border, the traders are bringing and getting the total produce which is not sorted out, and the benefit of that sorting out goes to the country in the next Congo or whatever the country they are exporting. So if they do the grading, sorting, save that 21% at the farm, it's an extra dollar to the farmer in his pocket, and it's an extra dollar to the country which is required. Otherwise, the benefit is just being made by across the border. And interesting thing on chilies over there, what we found out, when we did the value chain analysis, when the CSAM people, that's the benefit of doing this from two approach. When the CSAM people, they measured the losses across the chain. But when we talked to the farmers, so he said, oh, when I send my chilies to the city aggregation point, there's always a cheating. I get cheated. They said they steal our chilies. And then we started digging deep into that what does this word steal means? Because in value chain report, when it comes out, you have to go deeper. And the challenge is this exporter is only exporting Friday. And chili harvest is very difficult. So he let the farmer start harvesting the chilies from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and he sends the truck on Thursday. So all these 4 days, these chilies are sitting out in the farmer's field in a not very good conditions, and chilies evaporate faster than any, like other fruits. And when we did the experiment, we figured out it is that 10% or 15% dry age which is actually making the farmer think that the exporter is cheating him. And so those are the missing pieces which get called out, and you can work with those real numbers with the farmers, that this is what is happening. It's not a steal. It is not the way you managed. And imagine the kind of technology we are talking about, a simple cool bot. And if it is kept for 4 days, the quality of the chilies. But the most important piece is that can some sustain a business model of just having the chilies and a cool bot. So that is where we are bringing the next piece I'll share. And similarly in bananas, it's a basically, they lose a lot, particularly, but everything get eaten in that country and like in many developing places. Orange flesh potato, this has been introduced. The challenge is demand and supply. Not the processing units, there are small processing units being set, but they are not sure of it get fluctuating every other year on the work. So the piece which, the third piece which we called upon, the life cycle assessment. So just to highlight some simple example, basic data on tomatoes in Rwanda. And when we say life cycle assessment, it's basically if you have a farmer has grown 100 kilos of tomatoes, he has used seed for 100 kilos, he has seed fertilizer, pressed water, everything for that 100 kilos. And when you see at the analysis on the value chain and the commodity system, he only get paid for 46 or 50% of the produce. That's the value lost on one side, but this is money and other things lost. But even on the greenhouse gases, if you look into the Rwanda numbers, the post-harvest impact on the greenhouse is about 21 kilogram. And if you multiply it with the whole Rwanda production, that's the level of the greenhouse gas emission level you can look at. And similarly on the water volume, particularly the water volume is the amount which is getting lost because you are not getting the value for it because of the post-harvest loss. It is coming to 86 cubic meter, and multiplying it with the Rwanda production. The last numbers are rounded up, so it's not the exact mathematics at the last column. But the most important is the water equivalent. This is based on the level of water availability in the country. There's the indexes based on it and worked on it. So we are working on the solutions which are all known to all of us, but there should be low cost models, medium to high investment solutions. But the most important piece is building the business capacity of these entrepreneurs working over there. And what we have figured out in that any most of these countries, that these people start businesses, but then they work in a very limited operating plan. Access to finance, one of the issue which has been highlighted, and it stands out everywhere. So what we identify is in these country, these entrepreneurs, we have identified about 20 of them. And the key one, we will work hand on hand on business mentoring. Our approach on this is that you can't make a businessman in a workshop or a two-day session, and these people will also not open up. So right now we are at a stage in the project where we have all the studies done. We have the identified population. The next 2 years we will be working on really on one side taking those technologies, on the other side making entrepreneurial capacity so that my way of saying thing is these guys need to make money and demonstrate. And this is done both through the business development training and mentoring, innovation, competition, that's also open to them, and organizing the learning conference, which is a cross-pollination of the ideas. So this is the way we are doing, both in Burkina Faso is tomatoes only, and we have just started. So thank you. So I'm considering the time, but I'm open for. Right. The one, three we are setting up are actually on the physical, the existing infrastructure of those organizations. The idea is to first demonstrate the economic benefit at the places where they already, the three places we have it. One is a place called Agri Show Mulindi, which is next out of Kigali, where is a big center they have and there's everything available. But the most important thing is to look into a business model where if it has to be done in a grow out area, that what a kind of a crop mix, because I said only chilies will not survive, make it economical. So we are working with the aggregators, like the people who supplies to the hotels, the people who are bringing it to the cities so that they can do multiple products in that area and afford a generator. And some experiments in Bangladesh has already been done on a solar panel, so that is also an option we are going to look. But the first main focus is show people this works, make this can make money if you have a good strategic business plan, not an operating plan, and that's what we are trying to demonstrate in this. Yes, sir. Right.
You know why that was? It's the background to. I'm wondering if they were getting pressure from the government. The government really wanted something done, and they said, "Well, here's a project that can do it for us." Or what?
No. To best of my knowledge, the question is that particularly in Burkina Faso, that how the tomato get that importance in the mission understanding of the value chains rather than the other more better economic value crops. And so to my best understanding, and Beth can highlight, I think it's an outcome of the interventions which USAID was doing through Victory Over Malnutrition project and the other project with the CRS, where they worked on one project, worked on the with the women to grow tomatoes in their gardens, home gardens. The other one worked on the people to help them grow tomatoes on the lake beds in a cooperative manner so that they can draw water and make it economic value. So it picked up what I understand in that geography. But when it picked up, both the partners came, I think they did a evaluation of the project and they came out there is a serious need for giving this post-harvest piece to the farmers because they are losing a lot of value. That's how it, Beth, I think that's how it came.
The interest came from the nutrition
Yes, it's the project, the other two, these are the other two are the big, as you said, the local mission funded $25 million, $30 million projects. But when this was a, one of the things where they said that Innovation Lab can really come in quick and solve a real-time problem for them.
Please join me in giving a big hand to the world.